Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
We've run out of crimes on this podcast.
We hope that helps.
Yeah. I feel like I've given enough.
Name of your sex tape.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. We have 5 episodes of Men's Month because there are 5 Wednesdays in November, and that's just maths. And we are joined by the fantastic comedian Ed Byrne. How are you?
I'm great. I quite like the fact that there's 5 after 5. It feels like very like a blue moon kind of a,
yeah,
kind of a thing, doesn't it?
It's the
that
first
extra Wednesday in a month.
Yeah.
It's a male leap year.
Yeah, it is. Well, we have one question. Ed Byrne, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have. I've been burgled twice.
Oh.
Once when I was a student in Glasgow.
Oh, wow.
That would have been 92, I think, 93. 93 it was.
Wow.
And the second time was when myself and Ross Noble were sharing a flat in Finsbury Park back in 96, 97.
Okay.
We got burgled then. Both times I've been burgled. They stole nothing more than the rented TV and video.
Oh, right.
That was the 90s.
It was the 90s.
So 90s.
All they stole was the rented TV and video, which was insured. But they also, both times, stole a sports bag belonging to me to put said TV and video
in. Oh, wow.
Which is slightly annoying. That
weird.
That felt more annoying because that was the thing I had to replace.
Yes,
out of my own pocket.
These days, like, I think it's the law that you have to take your own bag to a burglary, right? You're not,
yeah.
Otherwise, it's 30p or something.
Yeah, I think you get charged. Yeah.
It's a bag for life joke, guys. Keep up.
Oh, I'm so on board with it.
Also, like, either how big was your sports bag,
yeah,
or how small was your television?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, maybe they put the video recorder in the sports bag.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I'm guessing. I guess you could sling that way, you can sling the video recorder over your back while you could just carry out the TV.
Yes, yeah.
Or maybe they just thought, well, I'll have that.
Yeah,
that looks convenient for my gym.
Maybe they actually stole some clothes that I didn't even notice that they'd stolen as well.
Yeah, they just filled it up.
Second time, they also stole a packet of fags belonging to me as well, which also felt very annoying.
Were they insured?
No.
Okay.
But rented.
Yeah. So that was burglary, and then I got mugged in Tottenham.
Oh.
Would have been 2002.
Wow.
Knife point, two blokes.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh,
certainly one of them had a knife. I don't know if the other one did or not.
Oh, man.
You forgot to ask.
Yeah. The most annoying part about that was I was on my way home from a kung fu lesson.
Yeah,
there's something very emasculating about leaving a kung fu class and then getting walking into two blokes with knives and relieving you of your wallet. No. But the
we didn't cover
this.
Think
this was the time to try it. Well, if there's one time, if there's ever a time you don't feel like doing kung fu, it's just after you've done it for 2 hours. If they maybe if they got me on my way to the kung fu lesson, I might have felt more like, just treat you guys as a warm up. But coming away, mate, no. I did call the police and they came round to the house and I was drunk by the time they arrived.
Yeah, why not?
Because I had to go home and have a few
It's
traumatic.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Even just after doing sport, I will go home and have a few beers. Yeah. Just after kung fu.
So even when they showed up, I yelled, "It's the Rossers! Flush the gear!" Which I thought was hilarious. And then one of them said to me after I'd given the description and all that, they said, "This might sound like a stupid question," and she wasn't lying, because then she said, "If you're on your way home from a kung fu lesson, why didn't you just batter the two of them?" And I was like, "Because as soon as I get good enough that I can batter two blokes with knives, I won't need to go to kung fu lessons anymore, will I? I'd be given the classes."
Is that the policewoman asking?
That, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a role reversal of victim blaming was.
Yeah.
The woman asks the man, why didn't you just beat them up, you little wuss?
Well, I'm glad you said that. I didn't want to sound like one of those internet types if I'd said it.
Not at all. But isn't that... Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. Maybe she
was happened
like,
to anyone.
She was thrilled she got to use the line.
Yeah.
Like, I've been waiting for this.
How
far were you into
How were you dressed? Were you waving your mobile phone around?
Yeah. Were you wearing your belt?
Yes, were you in your little...
No, I wasn't in my little uniform.
Imagine taking a chance on a guy that was wearing, or a woman who's wearing the kit.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bold.
It's often a 12-year-old, though, isn't it? Like, you don't see adult ones walking around.
No, not so much. I guess they change there, don't they?
How far into your training were you? I mean, could you have taken them, do you think, if you weren't so tired?
I think a knife just changes everything.
Yeah.
And I think the stakes are just so... I mean, I've done stuff where this guy's with wooden knives, and in theory, it all works, but you just...
Yeah. Boosh. Slap
like
it away.
£100 on me and a mobile phone, and why don't I just give them that, and then they'll go away.
I want my blood to stay in my body.
Yeah, exactly. It's where it belongs. Yeah.
And in 2002, it would be like a 3310 or something, wouldn't it? So it's kind of, in terms of mobile phones, you're not, these days, you've got a grand.
Oh, it was
a
brick. It was an absolute brick of a thing. Yeah, it was a Motorola job, and it was
a bag to take it from
me. Oh my gosh.
You stole my sports bag.
You would have had the sports bag.
That's what it's for.
Kept the sports bag, you pricks.
He didn't take that.
Look, that was progress then.
Well, we always ask on this podcast as well, what would you say to the perpetrators now? If you had them, they could be in custody. You can say or do to them. They don't necessarily know you're there, but they could know you're there. I've made this way more.
It's like, we know that you're very frightened, and we don't want to trigger you.
There's a way more succinct way of asking this question.
Yeah, I think I would probably say something like, you know, once you had the phone and my money, I don't see the need to continue to be menacing after that. Then after that, he became almost more agitated and more threatening.
Oh, really?
I think so as I didn't run after them or something like that. I don't know. But I was like, I felt like saying there was no need for that. But then more, I think I'd rather not chat to them at all. I think if you were to just give me a baseball bat and let me cave his head in, I think I would do that.
As the police would have wanted.
Absolutely would have wanted that. And I would have go back to my kung fu instructor and say, by the way, a baseball bat is far more effective than the shit you're peddling.
started with notes of too aggressive and ended with a baseball bat.
Oh man, yeah, that is really scary though. When someone, if someone has a knife, that's kind of game over, isn't it? It's like, okay.
Well, if somebody just has the suggestion of a knife, I wouldn't count this as being the victim of a crime. But a man did threaten to stab me in a Dunkin' Donuts in Glasgow once. He didn't show me his knife. He just asked me how I would feel if he was to stab me.
Oh well.
Wow.
I was wearing a jacket that was, it was actually a costume jacket. It was a police jacket, but it wasn't a real police jacket. It was It was like a pretend American police jacket.
Okay.
That was actually, I had a cousin who worked in costumes in Hollywood and she gave it me. It was just a cheap, it was like a, I thought it was funny. I thought it was like an ironic repurposing of a thing.
I was wearing it.
But this kid in Glasgow really took offence to it. I guess he had a run-in with a nondescript American police force at some point. And see a police jacket, mate? You know, would you like me to stab 7 holes in it? Which is a very specific number of holes to stab in a police jacket.
Ironically, being asked for your consent to get stabbed is much more frightening than someone just... suggest, you know, I'm going to do it if I want to. There's something about being asked, like...
The menacing air.
I literally said, well, I'd really rather you didn't. So I said, because, I kind of feel like... Even then, I learned, if he had a knife, he'd have shown me. To simply talk in hypothetical terms about this knife he's going to use on me. I don't really believe he had it. Plus, I was in a very well-lit Dunkin' Donuts. There was people around.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. I can't believe of all the places you were wearing an American cop outfit, it was at a donut shop.
It wasn't a Fallout. Yeah.
Full Chief Wiggum over
I think it was the jacket just led me there. It was just like returning home.
Yeah.
It was like the zombies going to the mall in Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, man. Well, I am. Thank you for sharing. That was awesome.
No, no.
We've all had a good laugh.
We've all had a good laugh at your traumatic experiences of violence and theft.
Yay!
Very entertaining.
Well, I've seen students have done some reading about the whole. Mugging is technically it's armed robbery.
Yeah.
I never even realised it. It is technically armed robbery.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's a curious thing that I didn't know is that it's not if you threaten somebody else. So if you were with me.
Yeah.
And somebody pointed the knife at you and said to me, give me your wallet or I'll stab her.
Yeah.
That's not armed robbery.
Because you're
not threatening the person that you're robbing. I mean, still theft and threatening behavior and all that. It's still
is it called like
illegal.
First robbery once removed?
You can technically marry the person who's being robbed. No, but it's not technically armed robbery if you threaten somebody else.
That is just see the technicalities of cases that have got off based on that. Yeah.
Well, I do. That makes me wonder how many people know that and do just that.
Also, I'd be pissed off because we'd be walking together and they'd be like, he's definitely got more money than her. And I'd just be like...
How dare you?
Yeah, exactly. I've got an iPhone 4.
You think I'm too good to mug?
Yeah, the opposite.
Whatever way around that should have been.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Sometimes when I'm doing these cases, I want to give you a taste of things to come and then kind of work backwards. And that's the name of your sex tape. I don't know if we're going to bring that back this episode. Let's see. Okay, so I want to tell you some fun facts, well, really grim facts about this case.
Grim facts.
Let's do it. The perpetrator of this crime was the last person to be executed for this particular crime in England.
Ooh.
They have been given the worst or least imaginative, to my mind, nickname ever.
Okay.
And they had some sassy last words at the gallows.
Wow.
So all that is coming up.
Last executed for a particular crime, said.
Not ever.
And the most unimaginative nickname for this old treasony McTreason.
As voted for by you.
It's on a level, like, you will all have a chance to guess. Now.
Turncoat, oh naughty boy.
I like the sound of him, actually.
I have to stop sipping right before you talk. My cheeks keep puffing out.
So I'm going to start this case on a Sunday evening in May. A postboy called John Stevens is travelling from Tring to Hemel Hempstead with several mail bags of post. Now, something bad is about to happen. So my first question is, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you in Tring?
I performed in a car park.
Really?
In Tring. Yeah, this was in the lockdown days.
Oh, wow.
You know that, I can't remember the name of the theatre now, but you know where they do Tringe, which is the fringe preview shows in Tring.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the theatre now.
No.
But they had a, and it was very much on the fly. They just sort of, it was ad hoc.
Yeah.
The weather looks like it's going to be good next weekend. And they had a mailing list.
We're
going to stick on a gig in the car park.
Wow.
So it was actually, you know, I say the worst thing, like playing in car parks isn't generally a nice thing, but it's actually quite handy at the time when gigs were few and far between.
Yeah, yeah, in the context of lockdown.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Did they like beat their horns?
No, they were out, they were let to sit on chairs. Oh, there wasn't a driving one, but we had to be outside, was the thing. Yeah.
I love that that's still in a car park, though. I would be like, should we find a woodland or something? I don't know much about Tring, but I'm assuming.
Woodland?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been to Tring, so I cannot answer this question.
Like a humanist gig.
I'm still mad at Tring because that's where we went on our first ever night away when we had a baby. And we went to stay in this hotel, and like Rich was doing a gig, and they were like, yeah, come and stay, it'll be so fun. And then there was a wedding in this hotel, and so it's super rammed. We went to our room, and the toilet was blocked with something.
Yeah, that was
so
Rich before he let you in.
We went together. So we went down and we said, our toilet's blocked, can we change rooms or whatever? Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, go to the bar, have a drink, we'll get someone to fix it. So it waited ages to get served in this hotel bar because it was a wedding.
Yeah.
And then this poor guy that had gone to fix it came storming into the bar with like a nappy in a bag, saw that we had a baby, thought it was us, and started yelling at us that we shouldn't put nappies in the toilet. Us, and then everyone thought it was. So that is why
it's really hard to cry not my nappy when baby is in hand.
Yeah.
It's just not a good look.
Does Rich still wear nappies?
Only at night.
Yeah, that's so then you had to just walk with your heads down back.
It's so fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Spring break. Who flushes like a nappy? I don't have children, and I know that you don't do that. If you can't flush a sanitary towel, you can't flush a nappy.
It's mad.
I don't get how it's physically possible.
Well, it clearly wasn't.
It ran into trouble, sure.
It did. Well, if anyone's got anything else to say,
I've never been to Tring
about.
For any listeners there, I look forward to visiting and making my own adventure.
So, real question. What do you think is about to happen to postboy John Stevens?
Well, if it's anything like the deliveries that we get around here, they will text me. He'll text me and he'll say it's coming today. And then he'll text me at about 6 o'clock saying, oh, we missed you. And then it will come in about after the weekend.
So big lying,
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, I think he won't. None of those things are going to get posted because he gets murdered.
Okay, We've got fake texting and murder.
Because he's a postboy, I wonder if it's just a case of mail theft.
Okay,
I seem to remember this was the case that the mail being the royal mail, isn't there a thing of that it belongs to the monarch?
Oh, right,
and that stealing mail makes it treason, and therefore that's why this person was put to death.
Oh my God. Okay. I hope that's still the case, because I get letters from Mr. Anderson.
Mm. Oh my God.
How fascinating.
Yeah. Anything to add?
I think the wind is going to blow, and I think that he has neatly stacked all of those according to postcode, and things are about to get messy.
Okay, so you think some
the worst crime of all.
Admin annoyances.
Admin annoyances.
Okay.
We've run out of crimes on this podcast.
Would a post person, because it's never too late to make reparations, would a post person be carrying any cash for any reason?
Well,
I answered your question with a question.
Yes, kind of.
Because maybe it was robbery.
So, everybody, you guys are on the money. He is robbed by a highwayman.
Oh.
This highwayman jumps out, threatens him with pistols, and steals the 6 leather bags. And they weren't just letters. They were containing banknotes and promissory. Yes. Promissory notes. Did I say it wrong?
I don't know. I always thought it was promissory.
Promissory.
I've never had to say it out loud. I leave it in my novels. I have no need to pronounce
it. What are they? I mean, I can't pronounce them. I don't know what they are.
Oh, I have it here.
Oh, nice.
They're IOUs, but they're legal guarantees that sums are repaid in full, in a full and timely fashion.
Ah, then I got a promissory from the Tooth Fairy once. I literally...
It's basically an old version of a check, is it not?
Yes, that's probably a better description, to be fair. Now, as you know, this guy gets captured and hanged. He will be the last man hanged for this particular crime. Do you want to guess what year we're in?
Hanged for that crime?
Yes, and that in itself is something we're also going to talk about.
Okay.
Do we think it's the pre, like, 19th century, maybe, or...
If not older.
Yeah, I feel like highwaymen.
Highwaymen with flintlock pistols, yeah, it's got to be...
1700s even? Like, okay. I'm going to say 1785. Okay, just to throw a number in the mix.
1785 from Taylor.
But then also, like, I feel as though we didn't actually get rid of capital punishment in this country until, like, something like the 60s. So it could be relatively recent. And he's just... And his, he was the last one to be hung for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's
and like, maybe he was really just into retro weapons.
Yeah. He was like a historical reenactment guy. His wife had left him. And
he's got a musket.
Yeah. He was just like, my life is fucking awful, guys. I've got a... I'm going to say 1912.
Okay. Classic.
I'll go somewhere in the middle, I think, then.
And you're going to win no matter what.
1810. Do you know what? Ed wins.
Hey,
it's 1801.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah. Okay, so the highwayman took the money, which added up to a value of £80, the equivalent of almost £7,000 now. He discarded the unwanted letters and bags and left them strewn across the moor. Take that, Tring. And he also discarded something else on the moor, which would subsequently lead to his identification. Question, ooh. What did he discard?
It wasn't his driver's license.
It was not. That is correct.
You are not allowed to be operating as a highwayman at all. Not for 6 months.
Do you think they'd have been more lenient on him if he had just, having nicked all the money, then went on and delivered all the letters? Do you think they would have let him go? He's like, ah, come on, there's no need to ruin people's day. Not that they
the job's done.
Yeah. He just would have been the most highly paid postboy in the century.
Oh,
that would be good.
That's a shame.
Yeah, but because this is obviously nothing to do with DNA or anything like that, obviously.
No.
I feel like it's always a pocket watch.
A pocket watch.
I won't bring it in that.
Yes,
time is money, and I've got money.
A letter from his beloved.
And good luck with the highwaymaning.
XX, see you later.
It's definitely you doing it.
I've sketched a photo. It's definitely you. Yes.
A good luck card from his dad, who's also a highwayman.
Saying,
congratulations on your first highwayman.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
We believe in you.
It's in the blood.
What else can identify you? Yeah. In
did he
days.
Chuck the pistols? Was he trying to get rid of the weapon?
No.
I feel like you wouldn't do
good
that.
Good guess.
No,
but
it's not.
No,
Katie.
It's not.
You're
that.
Nice,
no one has quite got it right yet.
Okay.
Would you have, like, there's no reason you'd have your birth certificate with you, but I was just trying to think about what is an 1801 ID, like, what's your...
I mean, it's not specifically an ID, it just
clothing?
It ends up closer.
Closer.
I mean, actually, sort of, yeah.
Was it something from his horse? Was it, like, a specific...
Yes.
Okay, like, a specific harness or something?
Yes.
Or
did he leave a shoe?
It's not a shoe. It's a,
shoe.
It's a saddle with a broken girth strap, which is also the name of your sex toy.
Saddle with a what, so he just left it because it was broken?
Yes.
Like, okay.
I'll do it in the right order.
That's the name of my sex toy.
Okay, so the day after the robbery, the postmaster and high constable John Page launch an investigation into the crime. Question, where do they launch it from?
Hemel Hempstead.
Hemel Hempstead?
Oh, someone's been listening.
Well, I think it would be London. Doesn't this go all the way to the top?
Okay,
so
London.
It's gotta be
right. London, Hemel Hempstead, Hannah George.
The post office?
Do you know what? Okay, I will tell you. They do it from a pub in Berkhamsted.
What?
Oh, okay.
I was going to say that. I wish I had.
So this pub is called the King's Arms. And I do love how in the older days, everything just seemed to get solved in
a pub. Happens in a pub, yeah.
Like, it's a court, now it's a pub. Mm-hmm. So
the whole work from pub thing, they were way ahead of us back
they
then, weren't they?
Actually, were. So their investigation in a pub is a huge success because everyone they need to talk to is already in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically just them in a pub with a couple of pints going, hey, have you seen anyone dodgy who's lost a saddle?
Cut to them singing, where are we here?
It's a pretty similar vibe to when my mum tracked down the person that killed our cat when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And she just...
Oh, yeah.
I've told this story on the podcast before, but basically when I was six, someone ran over our cat and my mum wasn't in, but it landed at the feet of the other kids playing in the street. And so my mum knew that it was like a black Ford Escort or whatever. So every time she saw a black Ford Escort, she'd follow them. We were late to school a lot. And then she'd stop them and ask, we'd be in the car. And she'd go, where were you on July the 24th?
Oh my God.
And because she just sounded so aggressive, they just would answer her.
She was a copper.
Yeah, she was a plainclothes copper.
She had that knife.
And then she finally tracked down the guy. And in her words, he didn't seem sorry at all. So, but he only lived a few streets away. So she went back in the dead of night and put sugar in his petrol tank and a banana up his exhaust
pipe. I knew it was a Beverly Hills Cop ending, but I couldn't remember which one.
I mean, the banana up the tailpipe is... name of your sex tape. is overkill if you're going to put sugar in in the petrol tank. Because sugar in the petrol tank will break a car. Like, the banana in the exhaust pipe just...
It's just window dressing.
Just makes it break down. If you then pull the banana out, it'll work again.
Yeah.
But sugar in the petrol tank will ruin a car.
Yeah. She just wanted to keep it in. And like, there you go.
You won't suspect the sugar if there's a banana.
It was the cork.
I don't know what the plan was.
Oh my gosh.
This is the vibe. It's like an investigation of that caliber. Now, the King's Arms in Berkhamsted is not just a pub, it's also an inn with stables.
Right.
So several people came forward, presumably sloshing beer everywhere, and they said that they remember seeing a man at the King's Arms fixing a broken girth strap on his saddle. So the investigators, who think they're better than us, but they're not, they're in a pub.
We do get quite hanged, right? Like, on.
We will too someday.
A pub that probably didn't even serve rosé prosecco.
We've come a long way, haven't we?
No, if wine was rosé, it was for a very bad reason.
This is somebody's gums bleeding into their wine.
Just less romantic.
Oh, Jerry's in tonight.
They are piecing things together. So it was believed that the culprit worked at the King's Arms as an ostler, which, as everyone knows, is a groom or stableman.
Oh, obviously. And
obviously, I didn't have to Google that, I just knew it. Question, what made them think that he worked there?
That he worked at the stables in the pub in Berkhamsted?
Yeah. No. What made them think that he worked there?
Did he have a t-shirt that said Berkhamsted Pub employee?
King's Arms.
Yeah. It was the merch.
Hashtag employee. Yeah, I'm going to go with merch.
If they'd seen him doing the thing with his horse, then presumably he just like knew where the...
tools were.
Yeah, he just knew where shit was.
Okay, yeah.
And people were like, yeah, that's Gary.
Or maybe they just didn't assume that it was his horse, that he was doing it maybe for somebody else. Because he worked there, like a sort of, you know, we service your horse when you stay at our inn.
Yeah.
Name of your sex
tape.
It just, we would stop, but you can't.
It does become quite addictive once you break the seal on something like that.
It's too fun. So these are all excellent answers, and I will add to that the correct answer, which
is obviously a bit more excellent.
Imagine if teachers spoke like that.
It was whoever did this had a decent knowledge of the postboy's route. So he must be local, and he'd been looking at the area, and he'd been working there and watching everything.
Right. Oh, so not working at the stables.
Yeah, just how did they settle on... They're zeroing in.
They know he's a local.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought you meant he was working at those stables.
Well,
So the fact that we came up with excellent answers, despite none of us understanding the question, is really quite an achievement.
It's what you want in a detective.
So he did work there.
Oh, he did?
Well.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
Okay, everybody gets a point.
Yay!
I love that. That's probably how much like history is written. Yeah. Is someone makes a mistake and doesn't want to admit it, and then just goes,
I'm just going to cry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
All right, you're all knighted. Let's carry on.
Yeah, with seven wives, yeah, definitely seven.
So they zoom in on this theory, and they identify the perp as one James Snook.
Ooh.
Now, I promised you a rubbish nickname. Question: what is the disappointing and unimaginative nickname that was given to James Snook?
Sneaky Snook.
Ooh.
That is too imaginative.
Oh, dear.
But I like it.
Snook the crook.
Also too imaginative.
Oh.
But actually, you're closer.
Highwayman. What was his first name again?
He is James Snook.
Highwayman Jim.
Oh.
Nice. Big zeroing in on the...
Big Dumb Jim, I was going to say.
Okay, they called...
Broken Saddle Jim.
Yes. Might or might not have worked at the pub gym.
Girthstrap Snook.
Bad Snook.
Even when you guys are trying, you're so much better than them. I mean, like, you're too good. This name is rubbish.
Thank you.
I don't want to make you think I thought your answers were bad again. I wanted them to be bad. They call him Robert Snooks because Robert sounds a bit like robber. And in some of the sources, it's written like Robert and then robber in quotes, Snooks. Robert Snooks, like in case no one had put that together.
Wow. You can't do a nickname where you change someone's first name.
It's so bad.
That just sounds like the crime. That's so weird.
Mm. Yeah. And to give him that nickname before they've actually tried him also seems prejudicial.
Yeah.
This is true.
It does. It really does. I'm a fan of your stand-up, Ed, and right. I remember you have a routine about LL Cool J and what your version of that would be.
With the fact that LL Cool J's real name is James, and he got the nickname LL Cool J at school, and it stands for Ladies Love Cool James.
Yeah.
Which my bit was what kind of school did he go to where you get to pick your own nickname? Because when I went to school, you had nicknames like Arseface and, that kind of thing. So how did he manage that? But if I'd gone to his school, my nickname probably would have been LL Nice BTG PHAAF, which stands for Ladies Like Nice Ed, but they generally prefer him as a friend.
Oh, mate, the fact you can reel that off is really impressive.
Yeah.
I did that joke for a while, yeah.
Yeah, to be fair. But that is like, oh, man.
I love it.
Thank you.
Now, James Robert the Thief, who totally steals stuff, Snooks, is already a wanted man. So question, what is on his rap sheet? What is he wanted for?
Oh, yeah, because this is not a first-timer.
No.
Stealing saddles from saddle repair shops, which is a bad place to steal saddles from. You end up with a shoddy good.
Yeah, what is the kind of gateway drug?
Do you think he started off small?
Roadwayman. Canalman.
Yeah.
What's the
just
pedestrian walkwayman.
Pushing postmen around a bit.
Generally bullying them.
Yeah, opening a couple of letters that weren't his.
Yeah.
Like opening his brother's birthday cards.
Nicking stationery out of card shops. Stealing pens from betting shops.
These are all excellent. Several other highway robberies and nicking horses.
Okay. I said that.
Yeah.
Damn it. And that time I meant it. Speak up, Taylor. Sometimes you know.
So he had been indicted for horse stealing at the Old Bailey in 1799, but he was acquitted due to lack of evidence, which I think is impressive because how do you hide a horse? How is there? It was much easier to stitch people up.
Yeah, because like now, you know, with joyriding, after you're done with it, a lot of time you burn it out, you know.
Yeah.
Well, with a horse, that'd be very... It wouldn't be right to burn out a horse.
You've got an awful lot of glue, James.
But I guess with a horse, though, you can just smack it on the arse and it runs in the opposite direction to wherever. That's it. That's the evidence.
That's
the evidence is just run away.
It's a wild horse now.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Go free.
Well, that's actually quite a good crime. It's a shame you got... Well, he didn't really get caught because he saw
there was a lack of evidence.
Because the horses had run. So there's an existing general reward from Parliament for highwaymen, like for generic highwayman robberies. But the Postmaster General adds another £200 specifically for Snooks. And I've given you the spoiler that he gets captured. How long is he on the run for after this before they capture him? And the crime happened in 1801.
Well, his saddle's fucked, so he can only get so far on bareback.
Name it
as a name. You can only get so far on bareback.
Drunk women solving crime.
Ho, 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 Santa here, and I've got my very first patrons who've made the good list this year. First up, Sasha, who wants to work towards an inclusive world economy as measured by 5 interrelated characteristics: participation, equity, growth, sustainability, and stability. Ho, 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 no problem, Sasha. Next, we have Daisy Watson, who would like to see an end to period poverty. Increasing efforts to get period management supplies in the hand of those that need them most, and continuing to challenge current laws that impart unfair and inequitable taxes on menstrual products and supplies. Ho, 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 you've got it, Daisy. And finally, Lana Harilke. Hope I've said that right, Lana. Lana wants a diamond bracelet. Ho, 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 only joking. Lana wants to tackle climate change. Not a problem, Lana. Climate change is a collective responsibility involving conscious changes to one's lifestyle. I've just switched all the lighting in my workshop to compact fluorescent bulbs, because changing just one bulb can save 150 pounds of carbon dioxide a year. Ho, ho, ho. Want to find out more about becoming a patron? Check out patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
I mean, just the fact that he was, as I say, that he was the last person to be hung for this crime.
Right.
So it might have been considerably later.
Yeah.
That they,
yeah.
But were you going to say years?
Yeah.
Were you going to say decades? What do we think?
6 months.
6 months? Sure.
All right. Excellent.
And then, I'm going to say 5 years.
5 years from Ed.
I feel at one point you said that, when was he done for the horse rustling?
1799.
And he was hung in 1801.
No, this crime, the post-crime that I started
Damn,
telling you about.
I was like, I found a loophole.
You're trying to trick me.
Yeah, like I'm Darren Brown.
By doing maths.
That is essentially mostly what he does, I
think. Yeah, just counting.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a sweet Darren Brown burn. Or in terms of counting. Yeah. I quite like that.
I could do that if I could count.
All right, then I'll go bigger then. I'll go 10 years.
Taylor gets it. It is exactly 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Check the big brain on Taylor.
It's weird because my head is really small. That's okay.
So he is captured in Marlborough Forest. Oh, actually, I'm going to ask you, how does he get captured?
Okay.
The reason I'm asking this
net.
Is because I think this is a mild. That's quite good. Whoop! I think this is a mildly funny story.
Oh, okay.
But it's not hilarious. Like, you wouldn't open with
it on a flash. It's like a writer's room all of a sudden.
Do they use a young post boy as bait?
Oh, I love it.
Get one to pretend he has a limp.
Oh my God.
And he's carrying really heavy post bags.
And just
have him walk through this wooded area. He's never going to be able to turn it down.
It'll
just tempt him out of the forest.
It's a sting. It's a postboy sting.
Oh, Royal Mail. Honey trap.
Yeah. So say it really loud. Oh, these post bags are so heavy with money and gold. And my back aches so, for I am such a slow and cumbersome postboy. No.
Okay, that was too hilarious.
Yeah,
got to dial back.
It's less.
Oh yeah, it's mildly funny.
Sorry, it's only mildly funny.
I'm gonna stick with the net in that case, Hannah.
I don't know. Does he? I mean, he's in the forest, but I mean, that's mildly funny, the idea that I don't know.
Does he just trip? Does he trip over?
No, okay, I will tell you. He gets apprehended by William Salt, who is a postboy who is driving a chaise carriage. So basically, William recognised Snook from all the descriptions,
okay.
And then he gets his passengers to help him grab him. I found it funny because I just like the idea that there's basically a busload of people working together. To me, that's like Downtown meets Speed.
Yeah.
Which is also the name of your sex.
So the equivalent of being on a bus.
Yeah.
And the bus driver spots somebody who's a crim and turning around to his passengers and going, let's all get
him. Let's get him. Yeah.
Like, no.
Can I get off early? No.
And can you drive the bus, please?
Yeah. It's crazy. But it's...
Oh, that's fun.
I like that.
Also, I don't think I would be confident enough just from descriptions, because obviously there was no pictures, that it's definitely the guy.
Yeah.
And I'd be like,
unless he was very distinctive.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It initially looked like Snook might get away with it. Also, do they get to share the reward money against all the people that were riding the...
That's a good point.
But it looked like he might get away with it because the original... Actually, this is what you guys have just said. John Stevens, the original postboy, at the start of this story, was unable to positively identify Snook as it was so dark at the time of the robbery. So the evidence linking him to the crime was only circumstantial with the girth strap stuff. And Snook, when he was apprehended, he had £200 in his pocket, as well as what one of my sources described as a brace of very handsome pistols.
Mm. Ooh, hi.
Yeah.
200 quid is a lot, right? For him to have in his pocket.
Yes.
That's true.
Because you're saying £80 is equivalent to £7,000. Yeah. So anyone want to take the next part of the sentence?
Yeah. Yeah. We can all agree. Quite a lot of money. A lot of money there.
Went through a tunnel. Oh, gotta move on. Because we're recording in a car via satellite.
The magic of theatre. So, something else links Snook to the crime. It's unexpected. So go nuts. It's
semen.
Not,
okay.
Like,
what? Oh, wow.
I'm just trying to...
That's
straight out of the game.
I told you, you couldn't resist a slow post, boy. So we have his guns, load of cash.
Yeah.
There was the saddle, but there's something else now that they catch him that's going
to
link him.
They'd have to link him to this post-robbery crime.
He wrote James on all the notes. James is money. James is money.
Was it a specific item that had been in the post, that had been in the mail that he held on to? Maybe some jewellery or something?
Kind of.
Or one of the promissory notes that he was waiting to come.
Yeah, you're on the right lines.
Did he turn it into a necklace? He just framed one of the notes and wore it. Oh. Just thinking back to LL Cool J.
Did he have one of the bags? Because you said it was a leather bag. And I've been looking for a really nice leather satchel for a really long time. And I think that a sort of like a leather post bag, he might be like, I'm going to be on the run for a bit. I'm going to need a bag for my bits.
Yeah, it was the sports bag of its time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A carry-all, if you will.
They're like, I'll have that.
I think that's a good answer, and I'm stepping behind my fellow detective.
Okay, it's not right.
And punching her in the back of the head.
Can I just, for the record, I did not agree.
No, Ed actually looked at me like I was a piece of shit, actually, so Ed really did not agree.
You know. I went off mic to spit at you.
Ed was closer, so what happened was... one of the stolen banknotes had been marked. And he had accidentally given one of the marked notes. I think maybe more than one had been marked, but he accidentally gave one that was marked to a serving girl in Southwark while trying to purchase some cloth. So his downfall was cloth.
Southwark.
He's
quite well-travelled.
Yeah, he gets around.
He is. He's got the money. He can go where he likes. So he's going down. He's in Newgate Prison. He goes to Hertford Jail. His trial is on the 4th of March, 1802. He's found guilty. The typical punishment for highway robbery was not normally hanging. Oh, do you want to guess what it normally was? It's not a very...
Flogging.
Flogging?
Ooh.
Nice.
Do you have to become a postman?
Hard. One in, one out.
I was going to say hard labour, but that's the same thing.
Has anyone not answered?
I feel like I've given enough.
Okay.
Wow. So. Somebody's just in the donut shop now. Detective. You're just one day away from retirement and you're not getting involved now. Is that the deal?
No. It's weird because I want to stab you 7 times. Disrespecting our
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Move it along.
You take care of it, Rocky.
It was transportation.
Oh, to Australia?
Yes.
Oh.
So that's what he should have.
Okay, penal colony, been... sex tape, etc.
Putting shrimps on the Barbie and other such stereotypes. Ooh. But they decided that Snook's crime was of a nature so destructive to society and the commercial interests of the country that he was sentenced to be hanged. So I just feel like somebody important was waiting for a letter. Mm. And like this is their really got that vibe for me.
Or somebody got dumped because their anniversary card didn't arrive. I posted that thing and then he finds out that that's why. So,
tale as old as time.
The attorney general or whatever, the procurator fiscal, dumped by his wife.
He's lost.
But imagine trying to sort of just be like, I swear, it was a highwayman, and it's kind of like, you forgot last year, Gerald. It was a highwayman last year, wasn't it?
No, what was it last year? With a great fire? Couldn't take me out because you had cholera.
Excuses, Gerald.
So the hanging took place 2 days later near where the crime had happened. The law said it had to be public ground.
So does this predate the Royal Mail then? Because I remember that as being a thing. Because I had a bit about it.
The
fact that you could... That it was treason was technically the crime if you stole the Royal Mail because the Queen owns all the mail.
Yeah.
Which so nice. I was thinking that would mean that you could post a block of hash and then you could give the Queen for possession.
Yeah. That's very good.
And if it was more than an eighth of an ounce, she'd technically be a dealer.
There's so many scams that she is unwittingly involved in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the worst.
Yeah. What?
So it was not always the Royal Mail. When did it become the Royal Mail?
See, anyway? I don't know that. That is...
Back then it was the People's Mail.
Yeah. You see, because it was one of those jokes that I wrote pre-social media, so I didn't have to research it thoroughly to make sure there wasn't any mistakes in it, like you have to nowadays. Everything has to be tight as a drum.
Gotta be bulletproof. We will get tweets. Everyone can Google that.
Always kind of amused in these cases where they're like, and they spared him the death penalty and just sent him to the penal colony. Because if you read about those ships, it's like, hang me, like I'll take the rope anytime. I'll even take a botched hanging over the stories you hear about the ropes. Like, I mean, the ships.
Yeah.
You know, just saying. Should it occur, take the hanging.
Thousands of people flocked to see him hung. And I know it's hanged, but with what we've been saying, I just don't want the one person who corrected us on Twitter to think he's won.
We mentioned that so much. I hope you still listen.
Oh, but then we got a subsequent email saying, actually, you are correct when you say hung in a certain tense, and it's only when you're referring to it in the past that you have to say hanged, and otherwise hung is fine.
And out of principle, we haven't learned which one is correct.
I think we need to start just saying, like, hoinged. Like, let's make our own
phrase. That's how I used to do it. When I didn't know if the I was before the E was spelling, I'd kind of do it all joined up and put the dot kind of above. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't say I'm wrong, you don't know where I've put the I.
Nice. Should I have been claiming to be well hanged all this time? I've been doing it wrong.
All right, well, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell us if Ed should be saying he's well hanged and what grammar we should be using. Well, yeah, also tell us what crimes you want us to solve. We will be rigorous and fair, which is the name of your sex.
Certainly not mine, but...
I promised you guys some sassy last words. Question, what did Snook exclaim to the massive crowd whilst on his way to the gallows?
I regret nothing!
You got me. Snook, line and sinker.
Oh. Hey.
Shame. No, it's a shame, actually.
I always have trouble with this question. Like, someone's quote.
I put bananas in all your horses' arses.
Oh, I gave them a sugar cube.
That's yeah. When you think about it now, that the horse was the car of the day, and yet giving them putting sugar cubes in a horse helps it.
Yes.
Increases your performance.
Oh, well, things have changed, haven't they?
Yeah. What a world. All right.
Was it something like, I may be going down for this, but in like fancy British speak.
Yeah.
I may be going down for this, but I wasn't the first and I won't be the last to commit this crime.
Oh.
So it is meaningless.
Wow.
That my life should be sacrificed this day.
So it's ironic because he was the last person to go down for it.
Yes.
Or did he say, did he go, enjoy your Royal Mail when it lasts? The Tories will privatise it in the early 21st century.
That would be amazing.
I always remember reading a thing about a guy who was being hanged. And
Poinged.
It was like they'd had to set up the gallows like really quickly, so they sort of knocked it together and it was a bit rickety. And it's like a really famous quote where he's walking towards it and he says to the hangman, is this thing safe? That is such a great quote.
Wow. Yeah. Do you want any injuries?
What'd he say?
Okay, he said, you guys, all of your suggestions are better than what he said. He said, it's no good hurrying. They can't start the fun until I get there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's actually great.
It's pretty sassy.
That's pretty sassy. Yeah.
I mean, that's the sort of thing I say when I meet audience members on my way to the show. They won't start without me. And then I hate myself.
That is basically the end, but they named a pub in Hemel Hempstead after him, but it's been demolished.
Oh.
What did they call it? They called Robert the Robber.
They probably did. I didn't write down whatever it was called.
I feel like that's a crucial bit of information.
The Broken Saddle, that would be a good name.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there is a moor called Snook's Moor. But let's raise a glass to Robert Snook.
Oh, cheers, Snook.
Cheers. Armless old armed robber.
Yeah.
Starting with, have you ever been a victim of a crime? Through me toasting an armed robber.
Drunk women solving crime.
Dear Drunk Women, last year I was the victim of a crime. It was the Monday after Easter holidays in year 10, and I went to my locker as usual. I had to leave my bag and stuff, but when I got there, the lock was gone.
Uh-oh.
The only thing they had taken was my pencil case, which had my favourite pencil in it. There was a school computer and lots of really nice books, but they had not been taken. And she has a list of, or he has a list of suspects.
Mm.
Obviously, I'm building an age profile of the victim.
Yes.
Here, and I'm wondering if the old name of your sex tape jokes are really appropriate now.
Yeah,
that's a good point. This is maybe a 15-year-old.
But I think this happened when they were.
Do 15-year-olds have favourite pencils?
But year 10 is about 15, isn't it?
Yeah, year 10. Yeah. You turn 15
in year
10. I guess
you still have pencil cases. Look, we're not judging for the pencil cases. I'm just amazed because this has to be our ninth pencil case theft story. This happens a lot and we're not talking about it enough.
People are traumatized by pencil case theft.
They really are.
But I noticed she said last year. This happened last year. She was in year 10 last year.
Oh, wait.
Oh, gosh, it's a recent crime.
But also, she's definitely 15. But hey,
yeah.
If your parents let you have your own phone, you're allowed to listen to whatever podcast you want. So.
Well, it's the Wild West. Absolute, nobody's checking.
I learned about sex tapes from my favourite podcast. There's so many names.
To be fair, the thing that we've nicked sex tape from doesn't have a rating either. What's it
Brooklyn
called?
Brooklyn 99.
Brooklyn 99.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, they literally had a scene where there was a tarantula on someone's head, which is a staple of all good family sitcoms. Anyway.
It was in Home Alone, I think is what you're saying. Okay, so we need to take it seriously.
Yeah. Right. So the list of suspects is two people on this list. Number one, the people in Mural Club who were painting the cafeteria wall. Number two, a teacher. Now, this is not very likely since I'm best friends with all my teachers. But who knows? I sincerely hope you can help me get some peace of mind. Yours truly, Detective Pigeon.
Oh,
and they say in brackets, feel free to put the blame on my mum. Which is something that we frequently do.
Like to blame the parents.
DetectivePigeon.com. I just had to do that.
I think if you're best friends with all your teachers, you deserve to have your pencil stolen. You had it coming. I don't mean to victim blame, but You're lucky. If I'd been best friends with all of my teachers when I was at school, a pencil would have been all I'd have been left with.
Oh, do you know, I'm suspicious about these mural club cunts. I've
volunteering to paint the
But also they're gonna know what a good pencil is.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they would. They know their implements.
Yeah.
Yes. What do you? I imagine you do sketch out a mural on the wall in pencil, yeah. Right?
Maybe they borrowed it and forgot to put it back.
No, don't give these arseholes an inch. They are awful. All right.
Who are we blaming for this? The do-gooders or the school bullies or the mum?
I think your mum took it because she thought, you're too old for this pencil case.
You're in your 10 now.
You're too old to have a favourite pencil.
And just didn't.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to blame the mum anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Why do we assume that it has to be a list of one of the people that is listed as possible?
Go rogue.
You don't know
that
it can't be
the
caretaker who might have a bolt cutters and regularly just breaks into the lockers there.
Sure. But do you think that he's like doing equations on a board or somewhere and that's why they need a pencil?
He needs a pencil, yeah.
Yeah.
He needs someone's favourite pencil.
God, I was just going to try to sing the score from that and I'm like, don't try.
Oh, wow, no, good for you though. No,
good for me for the restraint. I know.
Okay. All right, who are we blaming?
Mum.
All right, mum.
I like caretaker, actually.
Caretaker.
I'm gonna go caretaker, but really, I'm blaming the victim first.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that we pencil shamed you effectively,
but
sorry about your loss.
We hope that helps.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, go and talk to your friends, the teachers.
Well, Men's Month is brutal, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, we have just enough time. Ed Ban, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
Well, I have a job counselling victims of crime in schools. my new line. I'm understanding and shit. Right now I'm working on my next tour, which will be this time next year. It'll go on tour, September onwards of next year.
So September 23.
Yeah, it will be the plan. So between now and then, I'm going to Scandinavia. Podcast big in Scandinavia? I'm going there in February.
We're big in Iceland.
Oh yeah, well, I'm going to Iceland as well.
Oh,
no, okay. I am going to the Nordic countries.
Cool. Perfect.
I think I'm going to be in. It might be in Reykjavik on Valentine's night, I think.
Oh, wow.
Maybe not. One of the... Around that time. Look it up.
Are you touring a show?
My old show, as it were.
Oh, okay. So what's the old show?
It's called... The old show was called... I should know this. We talked about it on the way here. Yeah. It's called If I'm Honest.
If I'm Honest. Yeah, okay.
Is the one I've done. But which was touring since... like 2019 and was supposed to finish at the end of 2020 and I was supposed to do the Nordic country, I think it was in April, I think, of 2020,
right.
But everything got put asunder.
Okay. So,
and I'm also going to Australia and New Zealand with it in April, May.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
And then the next one starts.
And is there a name for your
the next
upcoming
one?
Tour?
Yeah. I think it's going to be called Burn Baby Burn. But B-U-R-N, the first one, and B-Y-R-N-E, the second one. That's the immediate plan. And, I've got to get myself one of these.
You should get yourself one of these.
Well, I'm in discussions. In fact, it'll probably be on the air by the time, this is... When is this getting released?
The end of November.
No, I won't be. Sorry, tight deadline. But watch out next year. Watch this space.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All right. Well, it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining us.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter, on Facebook and Insta. We are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.